This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
We are back. It's the WIP Afternoon Show. With Ike and Spike and Fritz. Ike, how you feeling, brother?
Oh, brother Spike, welcome back to the Keystone State. You were down in the Peach State.
I was.
Yes.
I was. Yes. I was investigating Hugh and to see if he had done push-ups in anywhere in that area in Georgia. I couldn't find any landmarks.
Yeah. So welcome back, brother.
Thank you.
Excited to get this week started off because, you know what? That other love that we have starts this week.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
The crack of the bat.
Yes.
The popping of the mitts.
Oh,
this is really play ball. Jackie Baseball. Come on, man. It's time. Holla at your boy.
Oh, man. It's going to be back where I should be. Behind the glass.
Yeah.
Everyone says that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I heard you mess up the beginning of the show on Friday. I couldn't get back soon enough.
Yep. Everything fell apart on Friday. But, yeah, it's a big week. Don't let the rain deter you, by the way.
No.
We got Phil's Baseball on Thursday.
It's a big show because it is the week that Phil's Baseball returns. Of course, you can hear the opener right here on WIP on Thursday. And I came back to town very excited for Phil's Baseball. You know, just first of all, Ike, you've said this a bunch of times, something to watch every night, get involved in. I've been more optimistic about this team, I feel like, than most won 95 games last year. Have heard some good signs through, you know, through spring training, all that stuff. You know, what's his name? Bryce Estade is hitting and Chris Sanchez is hitting 98 on the gun, all these positive things. And then I get back into town this morning around 9 a.m. and I'm, you know, looking at what everybody was saying over the weekend, so on and so forth. And Rob Thompson actually said something that ruined my entire vibe. Here's what he said yesterday.
I know the question everybody's asked all spring is your lineup. What will it look like come Thursday? Is today a pretty good preview or is that just reading too much into it?
Well, we're going to go with Trey leading off tomorrow. So we're still fighting through it. And I'm thinking about, you know, maybe against a left-handed starter, it's Trey leading off. Right-handed starter, it's Schwarber leading off. But I'm not quite there yet. But the nine guys you see today are going to be in the lineup on opening day.
This team is going to send me to the insane asylum. I am going to go insane following this team, doing just the easiest thing in the entire world. First of all, how are you still working your way through it? Spring training is like 8 weeks long. What is there to figure out? And I don't think they understand. Like, I don't think Rob Thompson understands. I don't think the organization understands. Also, based on what I saw Dave Dombrowski say, about like what a disaster they are doing by doing it this way to start. This whole two starting lineups, sometimes Schwarber, it leads off, sometimes Trey Turner leads off. First of all, this just sets it up for controversy. The first time the team wins three in a row when Schwarber is leading off, and then they go back to Trey Turner leading off, and they score one run, and everybody's fighting about what the lineup should be. And they could say as much as they want that it doesn't matter that everybody's fighting what the lineup should be, but it matters. It makes the entire thing a conversation when it doesn't need to be a conversation. Mm-hmm. The second thing that this pisses me off about is them not having the gut to have difficult conversations with players who have not got the job done. Yes, Bryce, I know you like hitting third, but you're going to hit second. Yes, Trey, I know you like hitting home runs, but you're going to lead off. Yes, Kyle Schwarber, I know you're 260 pounds and the second slowest guy on the team and hit 40 home runs. You're not going to lead off. You're actually going to hit cleanup. Like, nobody has the guts to just make this decision. Third, how are people like Trey Turner and Kyle Schwarber going to adjust their hitting approach when they're hitting in different spots of the lineup three times a week. This is not the difference between hitting third and fifth, which isn't that big a deal. The difference between hitting leadoff and not hitting leadoff is a completely different mindset. It is Trey Turner having to change his mindset to hit leadoff. He said that to us when we talked to him. But you know what this really is, Ike? And this is the thing that drives me the most crazy, is they, by doing it this way, they are just pandering to us because they think everybody else is stupid and that the way that they've been doing it is fine. They're just like, you know what we'll do? Everybody's whining for us to change the lineup, so we'll do this half-assed thing where Kyle Schwarber's doing it 60% of the time and Trey Turner's doing it 40% of the time, and we're just going to slowly ease back to the other one and know, because we know better, because we know that the problem was not the batting order, yet they've changed nothing. We know that there's nothing we need to change. We need to just get lucky in September and October, and if we just get lucky, everything will be fine. And it reminds me of the stupid Ben Simmons thing. What everybody told me, you don't understand. Mm-hmm. A point guard doesn't need to shoot the basketball. Oh, he does so many other great things.
Yeah, celebrate him. Celebrate all the stuff he does well.
And this is them going, you know, we've won more playoff games than any team in baseball the last 3 years. Our regular season wins have gone up. You don't know. Everything's fine. And it just drives me, just switch the friggin' lineup. Have the fast guy who hits 300 hit leadoff, hit the big slow guy who hits home runs hit cleanup, and stop making this more difficult than it needs to be. It's driving me crazy.
Yeah, and I totally understand why. I wish I could push back against what you're saying, but I feel very similar to the way that you feel, and I kind of view it the same way, that this is a lot of nothing, quite frankly. This is more or less, let's try this, let's try that. And then eventually we'll settle into what we really want to do, which is have Schwarber hitting leadoff.
Everything the same as it's been for the last 3 years. Yeah, everything the same.
And it makes me sad because here's the thing. I'm excited about baseball starting. I'm semi-excited about this team. They got a lot of likable players. I want to see what they go out and do. I want to see what Kepler, as Jack has been all excited about all spring training.
Oh, we all Keplered up.
25 home runs.
Right? Yeah, I want to see what the big guy's going to do out there in left field. But I'm going to tell you what it makes me feel. This is the beginning of, I don't want to sound too dramatic, but it is, to me, this is the final nail in this window of Phillies baseball to be successful. This is what we're going out on the end with this. This is, give me a righty lineup. Give me a lefty lineup.
Oh, yeah.
We'll see what happens with it. Like, they run out of answers. They've committed to these guys. They like the fact that the ballpark is pretty much filled most nights. Baseball is relevant again in the city, right? Like, they enjoy that part of it, and they don't have much wiggle room to improve. So this is one of those last-ditch efforts to try to keep people at bay from being overly critical about them.
Look, we're trying.
Yes.
Like, we're trying.
This is what it feels like to me.
Oh my,
that's
goodness.
Going on.
The dramatics from you,
it's so serious. It's not that hard.
It's a lineup.
Yes, it's a lineup.
Are the four best hitters sitting 1-4? Are they? Are they going to be there?
Yes.
So who cares?
What do you mean, who cares?
Like, listen, in a perfect world, I agree. I would rather have Turner do it, okay? Like, give Turner a two-month runway, see if they take off. But, oh, my goodness. I know this is what you guys have to do on WIP, but, like...
Wow. Is that where we're going?
That took one out of the playbook.
Yeah.
Yeah, on that one. But, like, I hear this over and over about the leadoff. And what if it works? What if it works? What if maximizing and trying to win every game, what if it works? Like, do you really need to shoehorn in Trey against a dominant righty? Or does it give a better option if Schwarber's leading off that game?
No, you know what? If he's one of the 10 best hitters in baseball, 10 best players in baseball, then yes, I'm okay with him hitting against whatever the starting pitcher is leadoff.
Well,
he should be,
well,
right? You know, why isn't he now? He's not 10 years older than when he got here.
Yeah.
And he straight up said it is a different mindset hitting leadoff than not hitting leadoff.
Sure.
And you really think bouncing him back and forth is the right way to get him to do this the best way? It isn't.
But it's just, he's going to bat four times a game.
Yes, I'm aware of all
that. He's going to bat lead off once, and then he's going to go back to normal like the rest of the game. Then maybe his approach Judge chains. I don't know. I just think this overreacting to Rob Thompson not making up his mind in spring training.
Rob Thompson doesn't have any guts. It's either he doesn't have any guts or he thinks we're stupid, and they're both bad answers. They're both bad answers from the organization.
I don't think he thinks anyone's stupid. I think that he is a player's manager. He's gotten here with these players, and I think if it makes them comfortable, and listen, if Trey goes the one, they take off, I think he'll stick with it.
They're not going to have a chance to take off.
They will. Yes, they will.
How?
Because he's going to be in there three times a week, probably.
Right, you're saying they're going to face more lefties than they are righties?
Like, no, that's never happened.
Yeah, right. But so it's mostly going to be Schwarber.
Sure. Or if Trey gets hot, then they'll put him there. I don't know. But I just think this freaking out about opening day and it's over and like this, it feels like it's so doomsday-ish. Well,
It's less about the opening day thing and it's more about coming into the season with this is the mindset and how we're going to manage the team, manage the ball club. Because here's the other thing. We focus in on Schwarber and Trey Turner, but the lineup changes affect other guys in the lineup.
Sure.
Where's Bone batting at, right? He's going from batting, fourth or third? Because Bryce will be batting second when Turner's leading off. Bone is batting third, and then Schwarber fourth.
Yeah.
So when Schwarber goes to lead off, now Bohm is moving up to four down.
No. He'll hit cleanup.
Because Bryce goes to three now.
Uh-huh. Which doesn't make any sense. You can't have a guy who doesn't hit home runs hitting cleanup.
Well, it's the only option they have.
But it's not the only option.
The big dog in the right field?
I just can't get over. 215-592-9494. Are you on Jack's side that this is not a big deal? Or are you on the correct side, Ike and my side, that this is a big deal?
Baseball guys.
Yeah, true baseball guys. We talked about when we finally saw the lineup we wanted to see in spring training, right? Mm-hmm. Trey Turner leading off, Bryce hitting second. Mm-hmm. We were all like, well, how long are they going to give it? As it turns out, they're going to give it 2 days. They're going to give it 2 days until we see a right-hander on the mound. That's the first time that we're not going to see it again. I just like it drives me crazy that they look at what they've done. And we were mad that they didn't make any serious roster changes, correct, mm-hmm. Ike?
Yep.
They didn't make any serious changes with the coaching staff. No changes with the coaching staff.
Nope.
They made no changes with the manager. And now they're not even changing the lineup. And to a certain extent, you have to – this is not a – if they were if they were the Astros and they had a few rings – mm-hmm. Then I would sit there and say, you know what? Maybe you do than everybody else. They've earned the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
They have not earned the benefit of the doubt here. They've been a good team that hasn't gotten over the hump. They've had declining returns in the playoffs. And then the final thing is, after the playoffs last year, nobody had an answer. Everybody was just saying, even Dombrowski was like, well, you know, our chase rate wasn't even that bad. And JT was like, yeah, you know, it's just sort of like baseball. If I was Bryce Harper right now, I would actually be pissed off. I would actually be pissed off that the entire organization is not at least looking at one thing to change. What'd we do? We went and we got a pitcher that might be good if he doesn't get hurt. That's the entire offseason plan.
Well, and Max Kepler.
And Max Kepler.
And Jordan Romano.
Okay.
A real closer.
Another Max Kepler, if he's good like he was 3 years ago, and Jordan Romano also if he doesn't get hurt. Is that his deal too?
Yeah.
That's the huge change. And by the way, even if Luzardo is really, really good, that puts us in no different position than we were for the first half of last year. Because we had a Ranger Suarez who was really, really good last year.
Sure. But ultimately, it's going to come down. Are they going to get base hits in October?
Right.
And that doesn't matter if he's batting one, two, three, four. It doesn't matter.
And here's why it does matter.
Why?
It does matter because it sends a message that your approach needs to change. And to me, the biggest thing with Trey was sending him a message because there's a lot of guys that could perform differently in the lineup that make things better, right? Mm-hmm. If Bryson Stott hits well, that will help things. But Cassianos, you're going to get get what you're going to get out of anybody. Trey Turner is the guy that can change the complexion of the lineup. And having him hit leadoff and changing his approach to at-bats was a big thing. And I think it was as much about changing his mindset going into this season as anything else. And they've determined it's not that big a deal. Okay. For some fun, we will have a next question today. It is Peyton Manning's birthday. He is 49 years old. I do look at that. He's 1 year older than me, and he has accomplished a lot more than I have. I haven't won any Super Bowls. He's won two. But in any case, Peyton Manning has been really, really good at two things. One thing, football. The other thing, selling stuff, right? Yeah. He's been really, really good at two things. So for next question today, we're going to look for people who are good at two things. Jack, you have at least half of a thing, right?
Sure.
In your career. Give us somebody who was good at two things.
You've done one thing in your career.
Yeah. Well.
Or you just showed me you were the 45th best player in the state.
In 2012.
Yeah.
2012.
Yeah. 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 People forget that.
They do.
I'm going for the big answer. I think it's Mount Rushmore. It hits home here in Philadelphia, and that's Charles Barkley.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, that is a good one.
Chuck,
Yeah, that is. I hadn't even thought of
Charles.
Probably
the best. Example.
I mean, one of the best. Certainly, if you're going to go for sports, it is one of the best. You have one?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
I'm going to go with the late great. He just passed away.
Yep.
George Foreman.
Oh.
Boxer.
Just like Peyton Manning, actually.
Yeah. Foreman actually had two chapters in his boxing career. Mm-hmm. You know, he retired, became a preacher, then came back to boxing, became the heavyweight champion again when he knocked out Michael Moore. George Foreman, one of our favorites. And from that, he became a great pitch man. And for years, I mean, hell, the Foreman grill.
There is an entire generation of people who only knew George Foreman from the grill.
Yes.
From the grill.
Good invention, too. It's like a hot plate now, but back 25 years ago.
It was awesome.
It was
the
awesome.
Foreman grill.
It was in every college apartment.
Yes.
Every kitchen. Every regular kitchen. And then there was the bigger Foreman grill.
Yep.
They had all different. So I'm going to go with actually a two-sport athlete. I'm going to go with Deion. Deion playing
Deion
football.
Had three acts.
Yes, he has had three. Yeah, he is a good coach. I think he's proven he's a good coach. But for me, as a teenager, Deion playing for the Falcons and playing for the Braves and being great at two different sports.
That? Yeah, two different sports.
So two different sports. So there you go. So first thing is the Phillies lineup a big deal, 215-592-9494. Jack says we're making too big a deal out of it because he is protecting his precious Phillies and his precious Trey and his precious Bryce. And two, next question.
Like I see it.
Two, next question. Give us somebody who was good at two things on Peyton Manning's birthday, good at football and a pitch man. Corey in Columbus leads us off here on WIP. What's up, Corey?
Hey, yo, today is Corey from Florida, you know. I'm coming on here to say I'm at Disney World today. I'm a Foxhole guy.
Wow.
I take time out with the family to make sure, you know, I still do my obligations. So, you know, playing into the role, it's Corey Worldwide for here on out. No more Corey from Columbus.
Wow.
No
wow.
Corey from Kentucky.
Well,
it's Corey Worldwide, you know.
Okay. Corey from Space Mountain.
Hey, you know what's funny? I'm actually about to hop on that right now.
I was about to say, which park are you in? Which park are you in?
Magic Kingdom.
Okay, Magic Kingdom.
Yeah. Shout out to, the new New Jersey, you know, resident that, you know, finally moved in, you know, finally a part of the team now. Shout out to
Well, he was already in New Jersey.
Just a different part of New Jersey.
But I feel, you know, North Jersey doesn't count.
Yeah, it's like a different state. They should split New Jersey into two states, I think. And Central Jersey, just give it to Pennsylvania.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yo, go ahead and drop your address so we can head over.
No, that's okay. That's okay. Well, I'm not even in the house yet, so you go over there before I get there.
But, yeah, yo, you know, Jack going to do what he do. He's playing daddy. He's trying to cover up. I knew something was up with these Phillies. You know, we – in the spring training game, you know, we saw Kyle Schwarber lead off for like the past four or five, games, whatever. I'm like, yeah, these dudes.
Well, Turner is back in there today. Just make that clear.
Yeah, they trying to do a little cover up. You know what I'm saying? We know what they trying to do. Rob Thompson, this dude, you on watch, bro. The way we was on Nick Sirianni's ass last year, we on this dude. Like back pockets.
Mm-hmm. Like back pockets.
Like back pockets. You know what I'm saying?
We like watching that.
This dude. We watching this dude because, you know, he not doing nothing different. Okay, you know, what's his name? Jose was – who's a pitcher?
Lazard.
Jose Luzardo.
This is good.
Jesus, yeah. Yeah.
That's close enough.
That's good. That's good.
Like it's a little, you know, upgrade or whatever, but like Spike just said, Ranger Suarez was supposed to be, you know, Roger Clemens going into the season last year. He was hot, one of the best, you know, ERAs and all that, and then this dude disappeared. So I see what these dudes is going to do, man. You know, even if we win, you know, on Thursday, we're in the series or whatever, okay, but these dudes, nothing they do matter until they get to the postseason, to me. They can win 92, 102 games. It don't matter.
Wow, is that where we are with the Phillies?
Wow.
Wake me up in October?
Wow. Yeah, well, unfortunately,
yeah,
we got 4 or 5 months to talk about
the
team.
Yeah, we'll be talking about them, though, yeah.
The Phillies wanted to be woke. The Phillies actually never woke up in October last year, so I don't know if we're going to be able to do that.
Was Green Day, Green Day say, wake me up when September ends?
Yes, that is Green Day.
Yeah.
Well, be careful. You don't want to get kicked out of the delegation as well for knowing something about a rock band.
And Green Day is a great grunge band, I agree.
They are not a grunge band. They're from Oakland.
My next question,
yes,
is Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, The Rock.
Yeah.
The Rock has had 3X or 2X? It's 2X.
It's really 2. You're 2X, not going to count the football act. It was only
he would.
Yeah, but it was only college, you know. Jack had the same sort of college success that The Rock had. Thank you for the call.
The Rock was at the U.
Yeah, but
he was at a real college.
He was a backup.
At the U.
That's cute. I was a backup at the Blue.
He backed up Warren Sapp.
Okay.
I mean, who is a bigger recruit, Jack to Bloomsburg or Dwayne Johnson to Miami? I'd say Jack to Bloomsburg.
All things being equal, me.
Yeah, I would say so as well.
He was just another guy. I was the guy.
Yeah. The Rock really 2X. The act. And do you think The Rock is a good actor?
No.
No. Just famous.
He's actually like Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, Schwarzenegger became a pretty decent actor, right?
Terrible actor.
Not even in like, what was the one with Danny DeVito?
Twins?
Yeah, right. And he. Yeah, like
the movies are okay, but yeah, he's the same guy just playing that guy.
Yes, I'd say this about The Rock and Arnold Schwarzenegger: not bad actors, but they were good at playing their one part. Mm-hmm. When I'm watching The Rock in movies, I think, oh, he's good in the movie, but he can only play that.
And
guy.
You know, sort of like Kevin Hart.
Yeah, well, they're just they're in every movie together.
Oh, they are.
They're a package
deal. The Jumanjis were good.
The what?
Jumanji. Yeah.
Is he in Jumanji?
Yeah. The new one.
Oh, The Rock is?
Yeah. It was him and Kevin Hart.
Well, I didn't know they're in. I've never seen any of them. Yeah. So
not grinding Jumanji?
No. Well, I think
that's what it was. I think it was The Rock.
I don't
know. Am I thinking that?
There it is. Took us 21 minutes to get to. What was that movie called? Who was that guy?
It was The Rock. It was Kevin Hart. Jack
okay.
Black.
That's what I thought.
Okay. Yeah.
Is never that a cartoon, doubt. Or are they
no,
actually
real.
In it?
No, okay. Real. Looks horrible, but it's real.
I also think the thing
original
is,
was great with Robin Williams.
Oh, yeah.
That was pretty good.
Cassina might be a better actor than The Rock is. Cassina has different roles in movies.
What? Never seen a John Cena movie, I don't think.
I also think the thing is with The Rock, if you're going to be that size, I don't know how many different kinds of roles you can play.
Right.
You're not going to see like an accountant built like The Rock. You
whenever
know?
He tried to do the... Do you remember the TV show Ballers?
Yes, I was going to say it was like Entourage,
HBO,
whatever the show was.
Yeah.
It was like an Entourage like show.
He was an agent in it, I think.
Yes, I think he was. I never saw it. Ballers.
It was did not make us look good football players.
Oh no,
yeah, no.
Oh, okay, was it accurate?
No, it was exaggerated a lot. Yes.
All right. 215-592-9494.
You can tell they took storylines from people.
Oh,
and put it into the movie. Yeah,
took real storylines and turned them into fiction.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. 215-592-9494. The Phillies say they're going to have two starting lineups. One where Trey Turner leads off and one where Kyle Schwarber leads off. I think they're cowards, and I think this is not going to work, and it's kind of a disaster. Jack says, I'm making too big a deal out of it, as he would. Yeah.
What do you guys do?
And next question, us guys. And next question today is Peyton Manning's 49th birthday. Give us somebody who is great at two things. Coming up next, Dave Dombrowski actually said something about the lineup.
There you go.
Not going to make you feel any better.
Mm-mm.
That is next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It's the WIP Afternoon Show. Ike, Spike, and Fritz. There you go. Mixing up 230,
90s
230 or 230 grunge. Every time you play one of these songs, I see the same Ike face.
I know.
What the hell is that?
Not a fan.
Literally every time.
Hey,
you weren't a Nirvana's man?
It's not been all bad. Y'all introduced me to some different music.
There you go. You know, Jack's recent getting back into grunge has pushed me back into listening to it again.
Yeah.
And that playlist that I made for Jack, the 90s playlist that he doesn't listen to.
I listened to it on Friday.
I spent a lot of time. I added a bunch of songs to it. Yeah. But I listen to it all the time now, at least if he doesn't listen to it.
You made him a playlist?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we do.
Yeah.
In our spare times. We make playlists for each other.
Like a personal playlist or for here?
No, personal playlist. Because he was getting into these grunge bands, and I said, hey.
You gave him the real.
Yeah, I was like, hey, have you heard this by Alison Chains? Have you heard this? He was like, no. All right, I got to put this together.
I lived it. I'm a rock radio guy.
Yeah, so you know the four songs.
Only the hits.
Yeah, only the hits. So there's some other good tunes, you know, that when we were on YSP, everybody would say, you don't play the deep cuts or whatever. So I gave them to Jack. The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Mark's is looking for artisans who are detail-oriented and have a passion for making people's dreams come true. Apply online at marks-jewelers.com. Here is the question, Ike. Let me know what you think people answered it, how people answered it. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, is who bats leadoff for the Phillies really that big a deal? Yes or no?
Good question. I'm trying to think of where most fans would go.
Do you want me to tell you what the correct answer is? Is yes, is the correct answer.
Oh, so they...
No, I'm just... That isn't what they... Oh, okay. I'm just saying for me, that is obviously...
Well, of course it is. Yeah, of course that's the correct answer. Yes.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if these fans are just like, it doesn't matter. I'm going to say it's close to 50-50. So I'll go 57% says, yes, it does matter.
It is 50.3% say no, 49.7%
So 50-50. I knew it was 50-50.
Of course it matters. you know, I think it... So it matters in a... So here is, by the way, here's what Dave Dombrowski said today about the lineup. And we already played you what Rob Thompson said. He's like, you know, I'm still figuring it out. There's only two options here.
He said they're fighting their way through it.
They're fighting their way through it.
Which is an odd way to talk about writing out a lineup.
Yes, yeah, fighting your way through it. Here's what Dave Dombrowski said. And the more I hear from Dave Dombrowski, the more I question. I can look at his record and say, Dave Dombrowski has obviously been the general manager of successful baseball teams.
Uh-huh.
But then the more I hear him talk, and he's thoughtful and honest when he talks.
He's had a bad couple months.
Like, since the end of the year.
The end of the season press conference I thought was a disaster.
It was atrocious.
I thought he was great with the morning show. Like, the way he explained it, I felt at least made sense.
Yeah.
But they don't know what the messaging should be.
So here's what he said about the lineup. You'd be surprised how insignificant it is.
Well, that's a hell of a way to start it off. Well, if it's so insignificant, then why does Rob...
Well, why are you dicking around with
it? Why do we have to do the whole lefty-righty thing and do all of this stuff if it's so insignificant?
If it's so insignificant, why do you have two starting lineups then?
Yeah.
Then why are you? then why don't you have a little guts and tell us from the beginning of this that it doesn't matter, do what you're going to do, instead of acknowledging that it does... They've acknowledged that it matters, at least... By accident, by having Trey Turner lead off some of the time.
Sure. So, well, what if like they don't want to announce a leadoff hitter? So when they are changing it back and forth, it's like, well, hold on, why are you deviating from the plan? You know what I mean? Like, what benefit do they get out of saying that Trey is a leadoff hitter? Because if they want to go back and forth,
no, they're it's
well, who's
not,
the element of surprise for?
Well, it's a competitive advantage,
right? No, it's they are preparing.
For which side?
I don't know.
I agree with you. They're preparing people, and they're preparing people for not doing it. That is what they're doing, because there's more right-handed pitchers than there are left-handed pitchers. So we're going to see Kyle Schwarber leading off more than Trey Turner.
Yep.
And the thing that is, and I said this in the first segment, this isn't just a deal. It's a huge deal. And it's a huge deal because I want to like just paint the picture for everyone, because it seems like we have forgotten what it felt like at the end of last season when we watched this team go down to the Mets basically without a fight. I mean, they won one game.
It was a whimper.
They didn't have a chance in that series.
It was a whimper.
And what everyone talked about, this is what, I want you to remember this. What everyone talked about was chasing, was not battling through when they're not hot.
Yeah.
And their current, the way that they have the lineup constructed, this was a lineup built for, we're going to get hot and we're going to bash the hell out of you. But nobody in that lineup understood the responsibility of being a hitter when you're not hot. And when you're not hot, the object isn't to try to get hot. The object is to try to battle through those times to wait for, look, when everybody's hitting home runs, that's when it doesn't matter what order you're in, right?
Yeah.
When everybody's hitting home runs. But when everybody's not hitting home runs, it does matter. And the one player that I would point, it's not Bryce, mm-hmm. and it's not Schwarber, really, and it's not Bohm, it's Trey Turner. Trey Turner is the guy, and again, I want to paint this picture for you. Imagine that you need a base hit, and you see him one arm swinging for the fences. Changing that guy's approach and telling him, you are accountable for getting on base and going first to third on a single and going second to home on a single, maybe stealing a base. You are accountable for making sure everybody else in the lineup knows what our mission is. And by automatically giving him an out, maybe the second game of the year, when we're facing a righty and saying, well, you don't have to be that Trey anymore. You can go back to being, everybody in the lineup can go back to being the team that lost to the Diamondbacks and the team that lost to the Mets. That's fine. They're telling us that's okay and it's good enough. And they're telling the players, your approach last year was good enough. They didn't make any change in the roster. They didn't make any change in the coaches. They didn't make any change in the manager. And now they're not making any change in the lineup. And how are we supposed to imagine this is any different than it was the year before?
They've run out of answers. They've run out of ways to try to explain or fix whatever the issues are, because they also realize these players are who they are, and there's not a whole lot that's going to change with them. This has always felt to me like we'll give it a shot for a split second, but and you know why I've always felt that they're eventually going to go back to Schwarber? Because they remind us that they won a lot of ball games with Schwarber in the leadoff spot. So that was always a tagline whenever talking about this. We won a lot of ball games with that guy up there in the leadoff spot. So just look at it from their perspective, and I'm not saying I agree with them. It's the ability to see what's coming. They almost had that as a crutch, as something to fall back on when things aren't going well. They could say, you know what? We got to go back to what we know best, which is putting him up there at the leadoff spot and letting Schwarber do what he does. And the sad part about this, Spike, is that they're going to still win their fair amount of games. They're going to win 90-plus games this year. I'd be surprised if they don't make the playoffs. But once we get there, will it be good enough? And I think this is all a prelude to us being disappointed at the end of the season, and I hate having this defeatist attitude. But that's where I'm at with this, because there hasn't been anything here to tell me I should think any other way.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
But I think their at-bats have looked better. So, if our whole thing is going
to
be...
How the hell am I supposed to... When things aren't...
You're not grinding on MLB.com, the feed, and watching the games?
Saying spring training. I don't know. Should I put any credence to what they're
when
doing?
When they're good, it does matter. And when it's bad, it doesn't matter. But when we're talking about changing approach, we know. But that doesn't...
That's, and you saying they have done this?
Well, I think so. They're leading the Grapefruit League in walks. I was going to lead the Jackie Baseball segment with that, but I have to break it out now.
Throw it out now.
Set fire to it when you say it. Here's, you know what? Let's go to Dan, and then I'll tell you what spring training means and why it doesn't mean anything. Actually,
it actually matters a lot.
It doesn't. 215.
My favorite time of the year.
215-592-9494. Dan and Ridley, you're on WIP. What's up, Dan?
Hey, Ike, Spike, Fritz, how you guys doing?
Dan.
What up, Dan?
What up, brother?
Listen, as much as it pains me, I told Jack, I kind of got to agree with him a little bit.
But why does it pain you? Hold on. Yeah. Let's lock in here, Dan.
It pains me to agree with Jack. I mean, most of the time I'm with Ike and Spike. But you know, last 3 years, remember with Schwarber leading off, we won a World Series. I know we've gotten there. We've made playoffs. Tinkering with the lineup is, as you've said, the only thing left to do.
Yeah.
But it's kind of early before the season even starts to, you know, like.
Well, let me ask you this, Dan.
It's a bad idea. Go ahead.
If that's what they feel, then tell us to shut up. And they're going to do what they've been doing because it's been successful for them to a degree.
My answer would be to that, Ike, is if they tell you shut up, you're going to listen anyway.
No, but no.
Listen, it is what it is. This is the way they've been. Nothing's changed. And listen, it's 162 games. Hey, maybe it actually works when you put Turner up there and he actually plays like the player he's been in the past. Not here, but in the past. That they ended up, again, overpaying $300 million. That's an overpay, but, you know, they gave it to him because of his track record. Again, hasn't produced here.
Sure.
Other than, you know, somebody, you know, giving him a standing ovation, but.
Again, starting shortstop in the All-Star game, hit .295.
Oh, great. Starting shortstop. Wasn't Bohm the starting third baseman? How confident you are in Bohm?
Bohm was playing a good last year.
All right, okay.
Good player.
Dan, for next question today, based on Peyton Manning's birthday, give us somebody's great at two things.
All right, well, I said this would be a Mount Rushmore, but maybe just for the local people or anybody that knows Ike, I'd say Ike Reese, man.
Oh, that's a big answer.
That is a big answer, Dan. That's a great answer, Dan.
Dan, pandering.
Nick Saban used to kill me by how stiff I was.
Wow. This guy, Dan, went to the Bryce Harper School of Pandering.
Love it.
Unbelievable.
Big answer.
I appreciate it not taking till 4:30 for somebody to say it.
Say Ike, yes. Ike, why don't you tell everybody about Tasty Cake, and then I will tell you the problem with the spring training thing.
Okay.
And actually, Dan's call that irritated me a little bit. No offense, Dan. Go ahead.
It's all good. Well, yeah. You guys know Tasty Cake has a treat for every John. That was closer.
You did it.
I felt that.
You got it.
I acknowledged it immediately.
Yes.
Sounded right. Hey, peanut butter fans have candy cakes, the chocolate-coated cakes with a creamy layer of peanut butter inside. Now, you like the simple classics? I know my kids do. Crimpets are light sponge cakes topped with rich icing. Now, donut lovers, they have options for days. You got frosted mini donuts. My favorite, the powdered mini donuts. And you can't forget about the delicious new Dippin' Sticks flavors. Now, I mean, there are so many uniquely satisfying treats to choose from, but that's no surprise because it's Tasty Cake. Accept no substitutes.
All right. Two things.
Yes.
First of all, on Jack's point about the Phillies doing the right things during spring training, walking more than any other Grapefruit League team, it does signify something. But here is what it makes me think of, is that when you're trying to change something, sports or anything that's a habit, as soon as there is pressure, what happens is you go back to what is comfortable for you.
You revert to what you know.
So it's super easy in the Grapefruit League, when the stats don't matter, when the wins and losses don't matter, to do everything that your coaches are telling you that you need to do for things to change. But then as soon as it matters, and there's 45,000 people in the stands, and there's a real pitcher throwing real pitches, really trying to get you out, not working on stuff, you're just going to go back to what you did before. And to me, what the lineup does is it reminds everyone in the lineup, it's a reminder, hey, don't do it the way that you did it before. Let's show them something different. Let's show them something that we're capable of being different. But if the lineup is the same, there's more of a chance that everyone is going to revert to what they were doing before.
Exactly.
And the thing that Dan said, and it's what alarms me, and I want to tell you, because I know people are listening to me and saying, well, you're being negative, you hate, blah, 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 blah.
No.
I expect that this team should be able to win the World Series. The Philadelphia Phillies have enough good players to win the World Series if they are able to get a little bit out of their comfort zone and be able to battle through the things they have not been able to be able to battle through the last 2 years. They weren't able to battle through it in the second half of last year. They weren't able to battle through it through the Met series last year. And that is getting guys on base. And I keep going back to that first game against Kodai Senga and the Mets. Kodai Senga, after he allowed that home run to Schwarber, didn't want to throw strikes to anyone. Nobody. But nobody wanted to take pitches. Everybody just wanted to hit home run after home run after home run when Schwarber did it. The Schwarber thing at the top of the lineup reminds them of the thing that we want to try to beat out of them. Mm-hmm. I agree with you, Jack. The lineup doesn't matter when they're all hitting. That's when the lineup doesn't matter. But the lineup does matter when they're not hitting home runs. And what I don't, and then what Dan said, and this is what worries me, is I think people are just throwing their hands up in the air because they've given up. And this team is too good, and they're too expensive, and they got too close to just give up and put your hands in the air and go, this is just who they are. They are better than who we saw against the Mets. They are better than who we saw in the second half of last year. They are better than what we saw in game 6 and 7 at home against the Arizona Diamondbacks. They have the capability of winning the World Series. And we should not allow them to drift back into the same bad habits that have prevented them from doing it the last 2 years. And it's just like they are too comfortable. That is the problem. It was the problem last year. It's the problem the offseason. It's the problem this year. They shouldn't be so comfortable. 215-592-9494. Nick in Exton, you're on WIP.
Spike, Ike, been a while since the sit-in.
What's up? Oh, what's up, Nick?
Yeah, what's up, brother?
Living, and now that it's baseball time, it is time to thrive, let me tell you.
Yes. Let's thrive.
Many people say that.
Yes.
Yeah. Me, at least. I don't know anyone else does.
Nah, we're all going to thrive. Well, hopefully the Phillies do.
But speaking of the Phillies, I am sort of on your side, Spike. The lineup is a big issue, but I don't think it's the most important issue to have. Especially, like you said, when no one's hitting, it really doesn't matter who's being put up on top. However, sorry, when they are hitting, it doesn't matter.
Sure.
However, when everyone else is not hitting, top of the lineup, bottom lineup, it really matters who sets the stage for everything going forward.
It does. And I think Schwarber setting the stage is the wrong message to send. We saw what happened in game 1 against the Mets, right? Schwarber did what he does. Yeah. And then everyone else tried to do what Schwarber did. They just and I know, and Jack, I said this before too. You said, well, they lead off at the beginning of the game, but then they don't lead off again. And that's true. Well, unless they're not hitting. But the truth is that those guys after Trey are always hitting after Trey. So it's always important for him to try to get on base for the other guys. And I worry about not just not having Trey at the beginning of the lineup, but having Schwarber at the beginning of the lineup. Having a guy that hits a home run that everybody else, instead of trying to knock a guy in, is also trying to hit a home run like he is. I've never seen a more natural cleanup hitter than Kyle Schwarber. That guy is a cleanup hitter. Let's not try to reinvent baseball. I know we all did that 30 years ago, but let's not try to reinvent baseball. The big, burly home run hitter hits fourth. The fast guy who hits 300 leads off.
Yep.
And you can do whatever you want with all the other stuff. I think Bryce Harper should hit two because he's going to get more at-bats. Fine, if you want to hit him, hit three. The fast guy who hits 300 who should lead off, and the big burly guy who hits 40 home runs should hit cleanup. And that's what they should at least try it. And they're already telling us they're barely even going to try it. It's not they're not going to do it till July. They're not even going to do it through
it might
March.
Last Friday.
Yeah,
it'll last till Friday.
Yes, they're going to do it through March.
Not Friday. Well, Saturday is the second game.
Yes, right. They have off Friday.
Turner's going to lead off Thursday.
Oh, great.
Right.
And then he'll lead off Thursday, and then we won't see him again until next home opening.
Right. It's like, come on, guys. Give us something. Give us something to believe that things are different.
Well, I tell you what they have given us. They've given us something to hone in on, yes.
Right. They have. They've given us the point of contention.
Yes.
So, Nick, why don't you give us somebody that is great at two things?
So first, one real thing, one quick thing.
Yes, sir.
Honestly, I don't even think Trey's the best leadoff It might be better even to go stock because he might.
No. Every day, these Stott people. Every day with the Stott stuff.
I'm okay with Stott as long as Stott can prove 2 months into the season. You know what the ultimate thing would be? If Stott's hitting 290 a month into the season, having Stott hit two and Bryce hit three, and that way the bottom of your lineup can that way you can have Bohm hit five, Castellanos hit six. All of a sudden, your lineup is a lot more.
But you can't have lefty-lefty.
Oh, yeah, God forbid. Yeah, I don't want to do that. Yeah.
Again, I don't know why we get so worked up about why do you want lefties hitting back-to-back?
Matter of fact, it would be lefty-lefty-lefty.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, it's a bad idea.
Yeah, okay.
Like it's a bit, like I don't know why that's so crazy.
No, you'd be surprised how little lineup construction matters.
Well, it matters when you're talking about having three straight lefties so you can set up late in the game. Like, what are we doing?
Nick, I love Stott too. I do want to see some proof that Stott's not going to hit 240 again before we have him leading off. But as far as his approach is the right approach, right? He sees more, at least to my eye, he sees more pitches than anybody else. So
he sees more pitches, and he doesn't swing in the dirt on a right-handed sinker. So
right. Unlike Trey, yes.
But for my answer for someone good at two things, I hate to say it, but I really enjoy him as a broadcaster, and I have since he sort of became one, Tom Brady.
You enjoy him as a broadcaster?
I know, that's a wild one.
But. Yeah.
Really?
Thank you for the call, Nick. I
might be one of the few people I've heard say that.
I didn't think he was bad. I just thought he was boring. I don't think he didn't say anything.
I agree. Yeah, I didn't get anything out of TB12 this year. I really didn't.
Was he? I think I remember him being.
He called the Super Bowl, didn't he?
Yes, yeah. And I thought
I definitely didn't get anything out of him from the Super Bowl.
I thought he was better in the last part of the year, mm-hmm. but now knowing. Just thinking about the fact that he's a Raiders owner.
Right, he's working different angles.
Yeah.
Well, he's not criticizing. Remember, he didn't. What is it? He wouldn't criticize the coaches that he was.
He couldn't say somebody's
name. Couldn't say Ben Johnson's name.
Ben Johnson,
he was trying to hire him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and you have to wonder what's going through his head, and does he really want it to be on tape? Him being critical of somebody that he's going to want to sign or he's going to want to hire. So
it's a total conflict of interest here, man.
Yeah. I didn't think he was bad. Like, does he have a Raiders worm?
He wasn't like Jason Witten.
No, Witten was the worst.
He was terrible.
Witten was terrible.
Witten and Booger. That was a tough.
That was a tough crew right there. Well, we had the Booger Mobile.
Yeah. That's high quality. They could not get that booth right until they hired Buck and Aikman.
Do we think that Brady has the Raiders worm? Don't say.
Well,
they
suck. Yeah. I don't know if he's ever going to broadcast a Raiders game. You think there'd be Fox's? NFL Game of the Week?
Yeah, could he even? Well, the Raiders would have to
be game
good.
Of the week. Damn sure won't be game of the week.
All right, 215-592-9494 is the
Gino. Gino went to the Raiders, right?
Gino, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Pete Carroll. I was going to say, like, who's their quarterback?
Yeah. Pete Carroll. That's a good hire, I guess.
Well, could be. Yeah. Game of the week.
Don't let him heat up.
Yeah. Well, they would love, I think, for the Raiders to be. I mean, the Raiders was at one point in the NFL was a glamour franchise. All right, 215-592-9494. Does the Phillies lineup actually matter? I think it is an enormous deal that Trey Turner isn't. They're not committing to Trey Turner being the leadoff hitter every game. And for next question today, it is Peyton Manning's birthday. So give us somebody who is great at two things. Coming up next, Jack. Jack mentioned a question to me about the Eagles, the era of the post-McNabb sort of pre-Jalen Eagles. That I think is a very interesting question that we will debate next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.